Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
Amen. Hey, why don't you turn to three people, give them a high five, give them a low five. Awesome. You can take your seats. So good. Great. Oh, didn't the band do well today? Didn't Josephine lead well? Phil's not here. Josephine's in charge. She's done a good job. Love that. Oh, there they go off properly. Just like proper, like off stage to the side. It's nice. What are you doing? I hope they come out in a minute. Great. Wow. Well, nice to see you. And my name's David. I'm a lead pastor here at Hope City Liverpool, along with my wife Lisa, who you've already seen today with the lovely red hair. How many of you like red hair? Yeah, how many of you would like red hair? Okay, good. Any hair. Gary would like any hair. Any hair would be good. I'll take any. Great. Well, I've had a good, like, 10 days. Last 10 days, I was thinking I would just, I like using Instagram and putting photos up on Instagram and saying, hey, here's what I've been doing, if you're interested or not. I'm putting it out there for you. And I realized over the last 10 days or so, I just had some great family times with the people of Hope City, Liverpool. I had some folks that we've had people around to our house for dinner, which is nice. And we don't even live in Liverpool yet. We live in Liverpool in our heart, but we're in the process of finding homes and all that kind of stuff. And we had Ben and Leanne over. They came all the way to Chorley from Liverpool. I think that's a round of applause just for making that journey into darkest Lancashire. And then last Saturday we had, I was at Amelia's birthday party. And then this week, what else did we do? This week I went to Blackpool Illuminations with Josephine and Dave and with Emma and Levi, our little kids, who seem to, there's some kind of thing going on there. We're trying to, maybe we need to keep them apart now. On Friday night, it was Phil Clayton's 30th birthday party as well. And Phil's, he's gone on for a birthday weekend for his 30th. And I was just thinking over the last, I was just looking through my Instagram, I was like, oh, look, oh, this is good. I've had some good times, you know. And those times are no less spiritual than these times. You know, we come and do this, but if the house of God is really our home, it's not about this, you know. The old cliche of, oh, the church isn't the building, it's the people. Well, it's good to know it's not the building, because this isn't ours. So, but it is about the people. It's not even about the meeting. It's about the people. It's about more than sharing this, even though this is important. It's about sharing everything. And I just look back over the last 10 days, and I'm like, well, that's probably the best 10 days I've had so far since me and Lisa have been over to Liverpool, because we've just spent more time with more different people doing kind of family stuff than we have so far. Because I was like, gosh, we've had lots of meetings, and we've got lots of things to plan and all this kind of stuff. And me and Lisa oversee the congregation in Lancashire as well. So there's a lot of stuff going on, and I've had Mega Center coming out my ears, getting us out of this old building that we were in. And so I just love the family stuff. And you should love it too. You should love it too. And I was thinking about the first time I came to Hope City Church. First time I went to Hope City Church was our Hope City congregation in Sheffield. I'd seen Pastor Dave Gilpin, our senior pastor, at a conference. And I was like, whoa, I just had a lot of guest speakers come through the church that we were part of. But when Pastor Dave came on by, I was just like, there's something about this guy that I'm just connecting with where I'm at, connecting with something about who I believe I should be in God. Nobody can be Dave Gilpin but Dave Gilpin, right? But just something connected with my heart and my spirit, to the point where I thought, I've got to go and visit this guy's house. I've got to go and visit Dave Gilpin's house. And I turned up in Sheffield. First thing I ever went to in Sheffield was a leaders conference. I just trucked up there on my own. I'd never been before. But within half an hour, I was like, I just got to make this place my home. Within 30 minutes, the impression of the place had hit me. I just thought, well, these guys kind of are happy to be here. Number one, I'm not telling you what church I was part of beforehand, okay? But I was like, these guys are happy to be here. They're everyone serving. Everyone seems to be glad I'm here, which was quite good. And there was some nice food, but that wasn't too important. And then a video came on the screen. It was like Pastor Dave Gilpin doing a funny video about leadership. I was like, we do funny videos. We can do funny videos in church. No way. And I was laughing, and then the worship came on. I was like, oh, it doesn't feel incredibly intense. I'm enjoying it. And I was just crying in the worship, and it was like, oh, God, you're kind of hitting me on every level of where I'm at. And by the time I'd just done the first half hour of being there, I'm like, I want to be here. I want to be in this place. It's making me feel good, not just on the level of, oh, now I feel good, but it's hitting something deep in my heart. And that's our heart for people, is that they'd come into this place, come in amongst us in Liverpool and say, this is hitting something within half an hour. Even if you're like, this is unusual. Even if you're like, this is different to what I've experienced. It doesn't quite match up with what was in my head of what church should be. That something hits you deep on the inside. It's not just about what people are doing, but about what the Spirit of God is doing. We want people to feel this place, I need to come back here. I need to come back here. I need to move in. And that's what we're about. And that's, we're not perfect, but we're working towards something. And even when we're not perfect, the Spirit of God can do incredible things in the lives of people. We'll never be perfect. But God, the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God's at home in the place, then anything can happen. Here's a scripture for today. Would you like some Bible? Would you like some Bible in your church, hey? I got some for you. It's John chapter 14 and verses 15 to 23. It says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's what I say to Lisa. Probably once a week I say, Lisa, here's the word of God, right? I will, some of you are like, does he? I don't know, maybe he does. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Say, another helper. To be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot. I like that they put that in there. Wouldn't you like, it's a bit sad for that Judas. I thought that he's not known by his actual name. He's just known that he's not Judas Iscariot. Judas, not Iscariot. The other one, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him. And get this, we will come to him and make our home with him. I think that's awesome. Because God's ultimate vision for your life is not that you merely come to church or come to an event you like or go to a connect group you like or even that you make Hope City Church your home as a goal in and of itself. In fact, God's vision for your life is that he would come and make his home with you. Because we've had this theme going on across Hope City over the last month, and there it is, his house, your home. Make his house your home. But I thought it through a little and thought, God, actually, it's not so much that we just make your house our home, but that you want to make our house your home. You want to move into our lives in such a way that it has an incredible impact, that he would inhabit your life and your world in a way which is tangible and real, that he would reside in every area of your life in a way which transforms you and the way you approach approach the circumstances and situations you face, that he would be in the very depths of your thoughts and emotions, that they'd be impacted by his presence. It's not today that you just make this house your home, but that he makes your house his home. The greatest thing for any person is that God would move in, that we'd open up our lives and say, God, come on, make yourself at home. Because I think if we're going to make this house our home, it will be as a result of the fact that we have allowed God to make this house his home. Flipped it. Just turn to the person next to you and say, he's flipped it. Say it, yeah. His house truly becomes your home when you've opened up the invitation to the Father, to Jesus, to take up residence in your own life. Wow. And I just want to tell you a few things that will happen if you allow God to really take up residence and make your house his home. And I think that can then have an impact on whether or not we really allow this place to become our home. Okay? All right. So when God makes himself at home, first thing from these verses that we find is that we have a constant counselor. Turn to the person next to you and say, constant counselor. You can write that in your notes, constant counselor. John 14, 16 to 17, as we've read, says, I'll ask the Father, he'll give you another helper. The word there in the Greek, wow, I'm giving you some Greek right now. Yes, feel like a proper pastor. The word there for helper is paraclete, which also means counselor, which also means one who comes alongside. It also means helper or comforter. To be with you forever, say forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Gosh, that God himself says, I don't want you to be hanging around your life. I want to be right in you. I want to be in there. It's not that you're just around about somewhere, but God wants to move in. Let's not have a relationship with God where we think he's somewhere out there, but actually where we realize he's right in here. He's as close as you get. I think that some of us need another helper. You know, she said, I'm going to send you another helper. And some of us need another helper because the help we've been getting isn't helping. The counsel we've been receiving isn't fixing things. The people we thought would be sticking around through thick and thin haven't stuck around. And we need help. I need help. Some of us need another helper. And the truth is this, even if you've exhausted every avenue you can think of, every avenue of getting help, every avenue of getting counsel, every avenue of getting wisdom, everything that you can pay for to get help, and you think, I don't know, I've run out of options, I don't know where to go now, there is another helper for you. There is another helper called the Spirit of God. Another helper, the counselor, another advocate, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, who promises to be with you forever. Some of you feel abandoned. Some of you think people that were helping you have left you to the side, have given up on you. There is another helper who sticks with you forever. Forever. I loved last week, if you were here, we had Pastor Dave Gilpin was speaking on air. We had the video message. And one of the stories he told was about a girl in Accra in Ghana congregation. I still can't believe we've got a congregation in Africa. Someone went to Africa. What? Anyway, so, and out there, a girl who had, her mom had taken her repeatedly to a witch doctor in order to see if the witch doctor would sacrifice her, right? And had suffered incredible abuse in her childhood and in her upbringing. That this girl is now in Hope City, Accra, full of joy, full of life, full of freedom. And Pastor Dave was pulling out this thought that it wasn't that she'd had hours and hours and months and years of counseling, but that she'd actually received into her life the counselor, the Spirit of God, had welcomed God the Father and Jesus Christ into her life, and through the work of God's Word into her life, had just been transformed. Just been transformed. Like, God, could it be in our lives, God, that you want to do some incredible works of transformation, incredible works of freedom that aren't about, some of you have been thinking, I need counseling. And we don't write off counseling. We use it in City Hearts. But somebody, maybe there's somebody here today, you're thinking, I just need counseling. I need to go and pay for some counseling. But actually what you're realizing today and what you're going to realize in the next 20 minutes or so is that, well, gosh, I actually just need to open the doors to the Father, to Jesus Christ, to the Spirit of God. Because I think everyone's let me down. Everyone, nothing's working out. You need to open your heart to the Father who will transform you. He'll be with you forever. Because there might be other helpful voices around your life right now telling you need to, I don't know, telling you need to quit when your breakthrough's just ahead. Telling you you need to carry on when actually there's some things you need to quit. Some things you're taking security in. It's a helpful voice to say, you need that. Without that, without that person, without that thing, oh, you're just going to fall apart. You're going to, they're so-called helpful voices, and you need the helpful voice of God that says, come on, you can come out of that. You can be free from that. You can be transformed. I'm going to do a work on the inside. I'm not just outside saying, come on, change. I'm coming onto the inside saying, come on, I'm going to change you. It's time to open the door to the Spirit of Truth, not for a visit, to deal with an issue. He's not the plumber. God's not the plumber, right? Oh, I've got a problem with me plumbing. Just going to think, can you come around? You know, some of us treat God like that. I've got a problem. I better get him in. You know, our TV needs fixing. I'm going to get the TV repairman in. I've got some issue. I'm going to get the repairman, God the repairman, in. He wants to move in. You know, he's the plumber, he's the TV repairman, he's the electrician, he's everything, right, that you ever need. And he said, I'm coming to move in with all my tools, with all my stuff. I'm moving in. I'll see where there's a problem. I know the need before you even tell me there's a need. I'm going to come and I'm going to help you sort your life out. Amen. Yeah, yeah. And John 8:31-32 says, Jesus said to the Jews who'd believed him, if you abide, say abide. We don't use that word enough, do we? Maybe you think, what does the word abide mean? How many of you, no, don't tell me. Abide, it means to rest, it means to remain. If you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples. We want to be disciples of Jesus, right? There's a few people here said, I would like to be a disciple of Jesus. Yes, please. Well, if you abide in my word, Jesus says, you're my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The Spirit of Truth. I've got a favorite seat in my house. I have got a favorite seat. Maybe you got a favorite seat in your house. My favorite seat is the one whereby I can see the TV the best. That's my favorite seat. But I was thinking about this and thinking, as I'm getting a little bit older, this favorite seat is shifting away from the one that can see the TV the best and over to the one that gives me the best posture. I'm like, what's going on? I'm getting old. Anyway, so my favorite seat is where I can see the TV from or whatever it is. But when the Spirit of God moves in, he brings a recliner chair called the Word of God. You need to make that your favorite seat. Your favorite seat, the recliner chair called the Word of God, the Spirit of God who moves into your life, says, come on, remain in my word. Remain in what I say. Remain in what I'm saying. It's the wise counsel of God. The disciples of Jesus didn't recognize what they had. He said, well, how do we know what's going on? And Jesus says, you know him because he's been around you and he's going to be in you. We got to recognize what we had. He has got the power to make truth your experience, to overturn the lies you're believing, overturn the impact of self-hate with his unconditional love, to overturn the hopelessness of a situation with the hope of trust in the one who's working all things together, to overturn the thought that you've got nothing to give with the truth that you are uniquely gifted for such a time as this. You need to take your seat within the Word of God. Practically, you need to find a chair somewhere. Sit down, have a coffee with truth. Don't just rely on, I come to church on Sunday. You're not born for an event. You're born for relationship. You've got to take the notes from a Sunday. You've got to sit somewhere and abide, rest, chill out with the notes. You've got to read something from the Bible. If you don't understand it, oh God, I don't understand it. Find something that's speaking to you. You've got to take some time. You've got to tune your ear to the counsel of God that's always available, not just to tell you what to do, but to transform you from the inside out. Secondly, when you allow God to make himself at home, we find that we've got a present parent. A present parent. When I was growing up, I sometimes had my dad present, but it was as if he wasn't present. Some of you know that sometimes even when there's someone in the room, it can be like they're not in the room. Some of us haven't had, you know, the best or the greatest upbringing, but I love that me and Lisa now are able to provide a home where we're present. For Emma, I'm like, Emma is not going to experience what me and Lisa experienced. I think that's an awesome privilege. It's such a fantastic thing to be able to provide, you know. If you had that kind of great upbringing, then that is awesome. And if you are able to provide that for your children, that is awesome to be present for your children. I think that is fantastic. So sometimes when we talk about making his house your home, when we think about our homes, and sometimes it's like, well, great memories. Oh, great times in our house and growing up. But sometimes for us, it can conjure up other images of stuff where it's like, that's where the stuff that I don't want to talk about went on. That's the place where stuff went on, and I want to keep it a secret. But God wants to do something in our lives and in this house and in our homes that rewrites what home is all about, that really defines it for our families and for the people that we're around. That people come into our homes and come into this house and say, well, this is what family is. This is what home is. This is where I want to take some Instagrams, because this is good memories. This is good stuff. I love that Jesus said this to the disciples in John 14, verse 18. And bearing in mind, he's talking to fishermen, to tax collectors, to zealots, to the tough guys, to real men who'd been with him. And he's about to go to the cross, and he's talking to these blokes. And he doesn't go, stiff upper lip, chaps, you know? Come on, grr, come on, let's have a ruck. We can do this, grr. He turns to these guys, these men, and says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I think that's quite incredible. I think that creates quite a picture of the heart of God. Talking to these guys, saying, I'm not going to leave you fatherless. I'm not going to leave you without a father. I'm going to still father you. I'm going to come to you. He's not stood waiting for us to find our way to him. He comes to us. I think that is an incredible thing about God. You know, when Emma runs off in the shops, which she does. I don't know if you've got like 3-year-old kids, 2-year-old kids, whatever. Running off in town. Terrible, isn't it? It would be awful if I just said, well, I'm just going to wait for her to come back. I'm just going to sit here. You know, she ran off in Morrison's the other week, right? And I'm like, oh, she's going. Look, oh, I'll just see her around this corner. Oh, no, she's not around this corner. And he's sort of slowly, I'm not panicking. No, she'll be around this one. She'll be around this one. She'll be around this one. Where is she? Have you seen my daughter? She's this big. She's right. And you see Lisa, I'm like, oh, she's. And Lisa's like, hi. I'm like, oh, is she with you? She's like, what do you mean, is she with me? I'm like, never mind. Praise God. He's like, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to come and find you. I'm searching you out. That's the heart of God. Jesus said, look, I've got to do this stuff. I'm going, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Don't panic. I'm not going to leave you fatherless. I love that heart of God for you. You know, it doesn't matter how tough you think you are. You don't have to be that tough. Stop being so tough. Stop thinking, I've got to be a man. Grr. You know, I've got to be like a woman who's like a man. Grr. You know, you Jesus said, I'll not leave you as orphans. I'm not leaving you as orphans. I know you can't do this without me. I know you still need to rely on me. Come on. Come on. I would hope and pray that this house can redefine home for you. When you open the door to the Father, you find acceptance, you find security along with purpose. And we are here to create an environment for people that creates a new image of home, of what it can be. It's time to create some memories together, guys. More memories. We've got some memories, let's create some more. Let's be part of Connect. Let's not just connect, you know, as a thing you go to every second Wednesday, but find space in your life for one another. Build something. Build some new memories of home. Let's, because there's people coming into this place where home for them has not been what we mean when we talk about home. Who are fatherless or motherless or purposeless and need to see something reflected in our lives, and that only will be reflected when we've allowed God, come on, God, just come in, make yourself at home, have your way, do your thing. Thirdly, when we allow the Father in, we get a new perspective. John 14, verse 19 says, Jesus is still talking to these guys. He says, look, a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. I love that. A little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Now, there's a lot of theology in those verses. There's a lot of theology. Turn to the person next to you and say, there's a lot of theology. A lot of it. There is a lot, right? But kind of what he's saying, because I rise from the dead, you're going to live. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but the context of what Jesus is talking about is that he was just about to go to the cross. He was just about to take all your sin, the sin of all mankind, all your shame, shame of all mankind, everything that would separate any human being ever from knowing God and having God come and make his home in their life. He's going to take it upon himself, because he never sinned. So he was able to take all your stuff on himself to the cross. He died. And because he was that perfect sacrifice, he rose again saying, ha, I've defeated everything that would separate any human being ever from God. Because I live, you can now live. Because I live, you can now have freedom. Because I live, you can now be forgiven. That's what he is saying. So, and even more than that, because I live, one day you will live. Because Jesus rose from the dead, one day, well, you will too. That's a crazy thought, right? Just a little crazy thought for you. A little crazy thought. You thought, oh, I'll die going to heaven. Well, yeah, if you die before Jesus comes back, you go to heaven. You have a lovely time. It will be awesome, right? But this, I don't know why I'm going here, but I'm just giving you a little bit of this, a little bit of doctrine today. Say, I love doctrine. Five people love it. Anyway, and one day, right, Jesus comes back. One day where we go, God, there's so much injustice in the world. Jesus comes back. It's going to happen. If you're still alive and I'm still alive when Jesus comes back, we ain't even going to die. Ah, come on, Jesus. I don't mind. I'll be 90. I don't mind being 90 years old because we've still got stuff to do. Jesus, come back. Let's not do the dying thing. I've come pretty close. Don't like it. Let's just have you come back. Bing, let's be transformed. Let's be transformed. Let's have all the sick stuff and all the rubbishy stuff and all the going bald stuff. And let's just be transformed into this glorious body that will never die and will be with you forever. That'd be awesome. Anyway, that's what Jesus is saying there. But in the here and now, because he lives, we get a new life now. You get a new perspective. It says, you know what? The world doesn't see me, but you get to see me. I love what Dave was saying last week on the video. He said it before about two prisoners looking out of a prison through the bars onto the same view. One sees the stars, one sees the mud. I'm amazed, and I've been amazed over the last few years of pastoral ministry where I can see people facing exactly the same kind of situation with completely different perspectives. The worldly perspective does not see Jesus in stuff. But when you allow God in, he really opens your eyes. You need to allow God to open your eyes in the midst of everything. I remember us going through something a few years ago, and Pastor Dave did just send us a text about it. He says, "Hey guys, praying for you. Somewhere in this, God is in control." I'm like, yeah, that's sometimes how it is. I can't see it, but I know somewhere in this, God is in control. God, will you open our eyes? Just allow God. Sometimes we seem like we're stuck, but actually he's taking us forwards. I've had lots of times where I thought, I'm stuck. We're going nowhere. This is not happening. It's not working how I want it to work. And yet when I get down the line and down the road, I look back and say, God, you were building some stuff into my life. You were building some endurance. You were doing some things in people's lives that was going to enable us to move forward. You got to see differently. When you allow God in, come on in, God, make yourself at home. He will enable you to see things differently. Pastor Dave last week was talking about thankfulness. When you can't be thankful if you're blind to him working. But thankfulness is for people who've got their eyes open, who've got their eyes saying, God, yes, you are working somewhere. Thankfulness isn't a decision to be grateful again. Well, it looks rubbish, but oh, thank you, God. It's more of a change of perspective. More of a change of perspective. I've got a little bit of an advantage over a lot of people in this. In that, and some of you know my story, and some of you know bits of my story, and I think some point over the next month, I'll actually do my story properly. So I'll give you highlights, so you know that when I say, well, I'm going to do my story, you can say, oh, I can invite someone along, that'll be cool, and I can hear about how God is miracle working. God, but my story is that I literally had an illness that my friend's mum had died of 3 years previous to me getting it, quite a rare blood disorder called aplastic anemia. And I had it as bad as you could get it. They said it's very severe, aplastic anemia. And I've got three fingers to represent 3 years. You got about 3 years is what we'd expect you to kind of survive that with. And I was literally told, yeah, Dave, the expected outcome of this is that you are going to die from it. And I'm not dead, which is kind of good. It's a long time ago as well. I realized it was, it's 20 years since I became a Christian. 20 years ago was when my life, boom, when God did something that kind of, that healed me. After I had the illness for 3 years, from when I was 16 to when I was 19, I became a Christian, and God did an incredible work, and the fact that I'm still alive here, just alive, whatever you say about, well, maybe you got better, maybe you took some drugs that helped you, and all that, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm still here. It's 20 years later. I wasn't supposed to be alive. Come on. But my perspective has changed. When you go through something like that, you know, it helps your perspective to change. You think, well, I'm not just here for whatever. I'm here for God. I'm here for his purpose. I'm here for something. So I got a bit of an advantage, you know, much as I went through that kind of level of rubbish on my way to becoming a Christian, so that I could say, oh, yeah, I can see, you know, I've had a perspective change about life, right? But still true for all of us, that we need to have the right perspective. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6, I came across this week. It says this, yet for us, say for us, there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and for whom we exist. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we exist. I'm like, gosh, from him, through him, for him. That's letting God in. Make yourself at home, Father. I come from you. I'm alive through you. And I'm alive for you. That'll transform your perspective. That'll change the way you look at your problem and your stuff. Incredible. What an incredible God. A change of perspective allows us and leads us to a change of approach. When you think I'm alive through him, I'm alive from him, I'm alive for him. It means I can change my perspective on my stuff. It means that I can be thankful. I can see, God, you're working, because even in this midst of this, I'm alive for you. This is for you, God. You're going to do something in the midst of this. It's going to turn things around, or I'm going to learn, or I'm going to grow, or something's going to happen. I'm not saying every bad thing comes from God, but I know that, God, if I've allowed you into my life, everything you will use, you will use for my good and for the good of others. Everything I go through, God, I want you to use it for the good of somebody else. Let that be the perspective change. Even if you're in the midst of something now, you think, this is terrible, I want to get out of it. Maybe, why don't you make your prayer, God, when I get through this, or even while I'm in it, will you please use it to help somebody else know that you are faithful, know that you're alive, and know that you are good. And finally, we'll pray in like 2 minutes. When we allow the Father to make himself at home, we get a repurposed DNA. There's a little bit of genetic modification that goes on in our lives. I'm not talking literally. I'm not talking about that complete and utter, you know, God coming in and changing literal DNA. But the DNA of who we are changes. At the moment, Emma's come up a few times today. Emma, my little girl, she will hardly let me leave the house. She'll hardly let me leave the room. I'm like, gosh, Emma. I'm like, I've got to go and do something. So I'm like, no, come over here. We're going to do shopping. Okay, now we're going to do Chorley Church. Oh, you're doing Chorley Church. Now we're going to do Liverpool Church. And now we're going to do, I'm like, okay. And it's so hard to get away. I'm like, gosh, you just want me to be around all the time. And I look at Emma and I think, Emma, where do you get that from? Where is that coming from? She's her mother's daughter. Hardly let me leave the room. Just wants to be around me all the time. I know. But there's no way in which Emma could ever be separated from being our child. No, even if she went to live on the other side of the world, which is not going to happen. I've made a few deals with the Lord. I'll do this for you, God. If. But no matter how far she got, she could never be not our daughter. Because I'm in her, she was in me. Jesus said this, John 14, verse 20, he says, in that day when I make myself at home in your life, you'll know that I'm in my Father. You're in me. And I'm in you. Huh? Jesus, you're in the Father. Father, Jesus, and you're me. I'm in you. With Dyke. See, you don't have a church life and an outside church life. You don't have a God life and then a non-God life. I'll get God in this bit and then not God in that bit. And you're completely inseparable. You've got to realize who you are. You've got to realize who you really are now. In God. You can't talk about my family without talking about me. You know that, right? You can't have somebody talk about your family without you taking it personally. They can't compliment Lisa without complimenting me indirectly. Someone says, your wife is incredible. I'm like, thank you very much. You know? You take it personally. I feel a sense of pride. Equally, you can't insult my wife without insulting me. I like your wife, but nobody's done this, right? But if you did. Yeah, your wife's great, but like what? Excuse me? Take it personally, don't you? To become one, inseparable. Jesus takes it personally when someone has a go at you. I'll not give you the references, but God says this, those who bless you, I will bless. Those who curse you, I will curse. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Leave it to me. You don't have to do anything about that. I'll sort it. Jesus appearing to Saul before he was called Paul. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I was like, oh. He was persecuting the church. Jesus comes and goes, why are you persecuting me? Oh, messing with the Christians? Messing with Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. You're inseparable from Jesus. You're inseparable. If you said, yes, Jesus, come into my life, you're inseparable from him. It's an awesome thing to get in your head. And the DNA of the kingdom of heaven is renewing you from the inside out. Say, God, come on, make yourself at home in my life. Make yourself at home. Renew me on the inside, God. God, if there's stuff going on around my life, I know you take it personally, God. God, you sort it out. And can I put it this way as well? I wasn't brought up in Hope City Church. I wasn't. Like 2 years ago. Is it two? Or now is it three? Is it coming up to 3 years? Oh, Lord. Oh. Time flies. I wasn't brought up in this house, right? But it became my home. It's like now I'm in Hope City. Hope City is in me. It's an outworking, not because I think, wow, I love this church, it's great, it's cool, or whatever, but because I've allowed God to make himself at home. Therefore, I can make his house my home. I'm like, if you insult Hope City Church, even if there's a modicum of truth in the thing that you've pulled out, I take it personally. I'm like, that's my family. The closer I get to leaders, the more human the leaders are. If you insult Pastor Dave, you're insulting me. It's my family. Some of us, we need to take it more personally. We need to take church more personally. So are you talking about my brother? I slap your face. No. It doesn't mean we don't see stuff. It doesn't mean we never point out stuff or work on things or anything like that, or just say nobody can be touched, you know. Don't touch the Lord's anointed, you know. But it means we're family. The DNA of the house of God is in our lives. Because we're inseparable from Jesus, we're inseparable from his house, and we're inseparable from the place that you've put me in. It's personal. It's family. It's here. It's me. I belong. It's my home. So I allow the DNA of Hope City to repurpose my life a little bit as well. Again, I take it personally. The future of this church is not dependent on somebody else. It's dependent on me. Not just me. I mean, from your perspective, don't think it's dependent on those guys or these guys or those guys. If only they'd get it right, then we'd be better or bigger or further or faster or stronger. It's like, take it personally. Take it personally. God bless you. If you're part of this house and you said, I've made it my home, I'm part of the answer, I'm not part of the problem, I'm part of the solution to us becoming everything that God has called us to be. Join a team. Where's Andy? There's Andy. Stand up, Andy. There's Andy. Andy Houghton. Looking good. Doing an awesome job. If you're not on a team, why don't you join his team? He could do with a few. Take it personally. Take it personally, the need to welcome people into this house and make them feel loved. Take it personally. So I'm going to join. You can see Andy today. You could do that. Shall we pray? Great, let's stand. Let's stand. Band can come up, get ready to rock, ready to roll. Let's pray. Let's take 3 minutes now to pray. Just close your eyes where you are. It's cool. It's dark in here now. Can't see anything anyway. Just listen to my words for the next 90 seconds, right? Some of us don't like being told what to do. Some of us just don't like it. We have a real thing in our lives. Someone tells us what to do, our automatic reaction is our back gets up and we feel like, well, why should I? Something goes off in us. Which is why I avoided a couple of verses. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. And if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. Because either it puts our back up, thinks, Dave's just going to tell us to do some stuff. Or we think, well, I've just failed here, there, and everywhere, so God doesn't love me. But the truth is, if you love God, you've handed over the keys to your house. If you love God, you've given up relying on your your own judgments, your own perspective, your own abilities. If you love God, it's only an overflow of his love for you in the first place. So I think this, it's not so much prove you love me by doing some commands. But it's more like, if you love me, you let him into your life. And once he's in your life and you realize what he's done for you and how much he loves you, you think, I just want to do what Jesus wants. I know it's the best way. I know it's the answer. Me and Lisa are looking for a home in Liverpool right now. And we often, well, I do, immediately discount all the homes that look like they were decorated in the 1970s. I do. But God doesn't discount you, even if you've got some drab interiors in your life. You say he sees what the potential of what can be created. He can come in and change the drab, worn-out sofa and the 1987 wallpaper and reinvent the very atmosphere of your life. Some of us need to just say, God, come on in. I'm feeling like I need some freshness. I need to tear down some old walls of hurt and pain. God, I need to freshen up the areas of my life of relationships, God. God, I'm lonely and I need to allow you to come and freshen things up so I can reach out again, God. And you feel that just big areas of your life are just like, I don't even want to go there. I don't want to talk about it. I don't even want to think about it because it's so, just depresses me when I go in that room of my life. And God, I need you to come in. So maybe if that's you today, one of those two things, you're saying, gosh, I just find it hard to do what, just to be told this is what I need to do. I find it hard to be told what to do. It puts my back up. You're saying, gosh, I need to allow God to come in. I need to, even thinking I want to, doing what Jesus says or what the Bible says. You're like, if that's you today and you're saying, gosh, I just need a softer heart. Or if you're saying, God, I need some freshness in my life right now, come in and rearrange. Do what you want. Freshen up those areas of my life. You want us to be one of those two categories. Why don't you just lift your hand right now? Lift your hand. Lift two hands as well, because you're going to pray in a second. It's great. Saying, God, come and freshen up my life. God, come in and take control. I'm releasing control. If that's you, just lift your hands. It's great. Father, I pray for all these people who are raising their hands right now. Father, Lord, I pray that you'd really make yourself at home. Why don't you pray right now? Father, God, make yourself at home. Come on, you pray a prayer. You invite God to take a residence in your life in a brand new way, brand new level. This is not God on the outside somewhere. This is God on the inside. This is not God on a Sunday. This is God every day. You're saying, God, come on, freshen things up. Freshen things up. God, to come into your life at all. You say, I've known about him, or I've heard about him, or today I've heard about him, but I want him in. You heard me say, Jesus paid the price. Everything that you think that would separate you, discount you from being accepted by God, Jesus has dealt with, paid the price, died for it. So that as you put your faith and trust in him, you're forgiven. You're free. It's not just that you get to go into his house, but he moves into your life with freedom, with hope. We're going to pray a prayer, 30-second prayer. I'll pray. Everyone will pray after me. And if this is you, just pray from the heart as we go. And this can be just your connection point. It's like opening the door to God, to the Father. Here we go. Let's pray after me. Father God, Come on, let's start again. Let's do this with some faith right now. Father God, thank you for Jesus Christ. When I could do nothing to make myself free, when I could do nothing to earn forgiveness, Jesus died for me. Thank you that you took all my sin, all my shame, everything that would separate me from you upon himself. Forgive me for going my own way. I want you to come into my life. I open up the door. Make yourself at home. Transform me from the inside out. In Jesus' mighty name.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.